notice we saw in verse 2, it said, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, and I referred you to Ezekiel 47 for a complete picture of how wide that river is, what it looks like, and all about these trees that seem to bear fruit every single month, and how cuttings, the little shoots of those trees, are going to be taken from Jerusalem to areas around the world to once again rehabilitate the entire surface of this earth. And it talks about these trees which bear 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree, or sprigs or branches, were for the healing of the nations. As I said, read Ezekiel 47 for more information on that. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Unmistakable reference to God the Father, because it says, and of the Lamb, meaning secondarily, and of the one who became Jesus Christ. The throne of God the Father will be on this earth. You know, the Bible says God himself will dwell with them. It says in 1 John 3:1, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Notice, it says, they, verse 4, his servant, shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Again, reference to the frontal lobes of the mind. The Bible writers anciently, while they did not know about frontal lobotomies, they didn't know, perhaps, about the distribution of the various functions of the brain into certain portions of the brain, the fact that the brain of man is compartmentalized like a computer, and that portion of it that controls your memory is near the base of the skull, that other portions are given to certain functions of the body. They have finally discovered, for example, that a blow to a certain side of the head might cause paralysis on the opposite side of the body, and so on. They've investigated now the way the nerves and the cerebral cortex and the way the brain is put together like a gigantic or a fantastic computer. And they understand a great deal more about the human mind or brain today than we ever had before, and yet there is still a great deal to be learned. Well, ancient Bible writers, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, referred continually, when they talked about will, when they talked about volition, personality, character, determination, that decision-making factor of your brain or your mind, where you say, I will do thus and such, I am going to do thus and such, where you set your mind to believe thus and such that makes you what you are, Bible writers knew, because God inspired them to write, that portion of the mind or brain is right behind your forehead. So when it talks about in their foreheads, the name of God in their foreheads, you know, really that is referring to the begettal of our human mind with God's Holy Spirit that makes us the very children of God and we bear his name. It is not talking about a tattoo. It's not talking about wearing some kind of a piece of jewelry with a mysterious name on it. It's not talking about God mysteriously marking your forehead on the skin of your forehead with some impression of some sort. No, it is a biblical, a kind of a mystical or allegorical statement that has to do with your very will being in complete subjection to the will of God. God, because of your repentance and acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your being baptized and having hands laid on you for the receiving of God's Holy Spirit, then begets you, imparts into your brain a part of his very nature, which is a divine nature, instills, implants within you a part of his own character. And as you grow and develop in the character and the nature of God, that is your personality, your character, your volition, and your will. And in that way, you bear his name. You're a child of God. Now, verse 5, there should be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Rulership with Jesus Christ for the millennium, and then eventually, like the earth is becoming Starship One, or whatever you want to call it, like a space platform. Now, no longer with human population, but only with God population, only with spiritual population, like a spaceship in our corner of the universe and a brand new beginning. And who knows what is going to happen then? I'll guarantee you the age of space exploration is still far ahead of human experience. It is more than 1,100 years in the future yet before a whole new age of actually going out into outer space, not in human form, but as members of the very family of God, is going to occur. Now, he said in verse 6, a couple of little parenthetical statements, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel, his messenger, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. That's a little bit of a recapitulation of the very first verse of Revelation chapter 1, where he said that he was revealing these things in the book called Revelation or the Apocalypse to show unto his servants those things which must shortly be done. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly, meaning at the time in which we see this book of Revelation cast or set. It's set at the time just before the great tribulation and the day of the Lord. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And remember, he wrote in the order in which he saw and he heard.